Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at the first 11 verses and then one phrase that caught my attention. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Paul, writing to the believers at Rome, said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Now received reconciliation. In verse 5, Paul, having declared God's amazing love, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, having declared God's amazing love to undeserving sinners, now Paul proceeds to show how our Lord manifested this sovereign, distinguishing love for his church. Verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength," no ability to save ourselves, no ability to come to Christ, no ability to seek God, just there in a sinful stupor, if you will, caring less about God, caring more for ourselves and the things of the world, we were without strength. When we were yet without strength. Man can talk about free will all he wants to, but the only will that will succeed is God's will. God's will. And it is according to God's will and purpose in electing love that some sinners would find Christ, would find redemption in the blood of the everlasting Son. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." I want to draw our attention to a particular phrase found in verse 6. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In due time. But before I go any further, he said Christ died for the ungodly. I ask myself this question and I ask you this question. Is this referring to you and to me? Ungodly. Is this referring to you and to me when it says ungodly? Do we know of a certainty and feel this to be us? I pray it would be so. For of such, it is plainly stated in the Word of God, Christ died for them. I'll never forget the first time back in the 80s, we had Henry Mahan in the early 80s at the park. And he said, he was preaching, he stopped. He said, "Is there any ungodly here? Anybody ungodly here?" Apparently he had done this before in another meeting, some other place. A man rose his hand. He says, "Well, I can say Christ died for you. Raise your hand." That person knew he was ungodly. It is plainly stated, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In Job chapter 40 in verse 4, well after the trials and the situations that Job was going through, as stating as a believer, he said, "Behold, I am vile. Behold, I am vile." As a believer. As a believer. That's our brother Job. Can we say the same thing? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But let's go back to where I want to look at. In due time. As we are and when we are without strength, in due time, we look to Christ who in due time did all we could never do. Satisfy God's law. Usher in a perfect righteousness. Take our sins, debt, and pay them in full. And set us free. This is what he did. Yes, in due time, Christ came and lived a pure, perfect life. Yes, in due time, he undertook our cause for his own dear sheep. Yes, in due time, he suffered, bled, and hung on Calvary's tree. And yes, in due time, he rose again and led captivity captive. But more than this, concerning ourselves here this morning, in due time, he looked upon us from before the foundation of the world and was the Lamb slain. In due time, when we were without strength, when we were enemies, says verse 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. In due time, we're brought nigh unto God by the sacrifice of Christ himself. In due time, when it pleased God to separate us from our mother's womb and call us by his unerring grace, says Galatians, says Paul in Galatians chapter 1. And in due time, Christ would see to it that he would keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, says Jude. In due time. So this sentence, this phrase found in chapter 5 and verse 6, in due time, seems to be a pivotal point here. The Amplified Version says, at the fitting or fitted time. Sounds like it's something that's been done for us. In the fitting time. In the margin, if you have a marginal reading, it reads, according to the time. Just the time. Whose time? When we decided to walk an aisle, when we decided it's time that our children do something to show that they, you know, that they're supposed to believe, at the time of our baptism, is it the time of our after baptism, the time of our church membership? No, it's God's time. In due time, Christ did something. This is God's time. Now, time is so important. When we were back there, I don't know if Bruce said anything in Bible class. I'm trying to listen, but Nathan made the remark about time, and Bruce made used the word time once. Nathan used it two or three times. Time is really important to us, right? Think about it. Those of us are getting older. We can't control it. I started at 20 till, and it's 10 till. Can't stop it. I could pull the batteries out, but there's a running clock, biological clock. Can't stop it. Time, we cherish it. We often abuse it. We say time is money. Seems like we're always chasing it. We're always looking at it as it passes by. We are to redeem it. One time will be our last time. There'll be a last time I preach. We often say our time is up. It's given unto man once to die. A lot of the Old Testament saints said, I go the way of all the earth. God controls all time. He can stop it. and have the sun go backwards. He could do it twice. He could, and when Christ hung on the cross, he could black out everything. God controls time. I believe that I can say this with the authority of God's word. The only time that is truly, supremely important is God's time. And I know you kids have a lot of things you want to do. You don't know if you have tomorrow. And the same with adults. We project, we're doing this already. We're doing this already. Christmas time is coming. Okay, I got to do this. I got to do that. You know what? You may fall and break something on the way out the door. You may get hit. Time is out of our hands. So that's why we're here. That's why we bring our kids. Time in the due time, in God's time. And according to the scriptures, God's time has to do, and this just makes sense because the whole scripture is about Christ. God's time has to do with the redemptive accomplishments of Christ Jesus as he reconciles us to his heavenly Father. Let's look at some text. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at 1 through 12. We'll look at one verse. But let me read all these verses so we kind of get the import. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensations of the fullness of times he might gather together into one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in himself, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. In the dispensations of the fullness of times, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. It's all about the redemptive glory of Jesus Christ. Glorifies God's Father, glorifies God's will, glorifies God's purpose in the fullness of times. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verses 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1. Verses 14 and 15. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel, the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The time is at hand. Jesus came preaching. Preaching what? The gospel. That's what we do when we gather together. That's who we talk about, is Christ. Because in Christ is life, and he's preaching the gospel. And what's the result of that? Believe and repent. The redemptive accomplishments of Christ. The substitutionary work. You can't preach the gospel without preaching substitution. You can't preach repentance. What is repentance? It's your repent from your sins. God doesn't need to repent. We need to repent. That's part of the gospel. Repent, for we are sinners. We are without strength. In due time, the time has come. The time has come when he was preaching, the time was come when Abraham heard the gospel. In due time. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, 25, and 26. Hebrews 9. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world. That's a time. The end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel. In the end of the world, that's specifically speaking about a time, in due time. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18, verses 18, 19, and 20. 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much, verse 18 in chapter verse Peter 1, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, it's talking about redemption, with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ spilt, shed, let as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Last times for you. He's speaking of the gospel. Christ came in due time. In due time. I love this one. Ezekiel chapter 16. And there's a whole bunch of these. This is all we're going to look at. It's just Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 6, 7, and 8. This is speaking about the redemptive, this is the type of the redemptive glory of Christ through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And when I pass by, says God, when I pass by thee and saw thee polluted without strength in our own blood, we're guilty, we're responsible. I am vile. I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said it unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee, not us, but God, through the grace of God, through the grace of Christ, in the work of the Holy Spirit, caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time. Thy time. Thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. In due time. God's time. Whose time? God's time, Jehovah's time, Christ, and the Holy Spirit of grace. And it's always the right time. We don't know when somebody is going to be called and quickened and redeemed by the word of Christ, by the blood of Christ, by the water and the blood, as we heard this morning in 1 John. We don't know, but it's our responsibility to keep telling, to keep talking, to keep speaking. When? Well, we know it's before the world, before time was written or conceptualized, before the worlds were, and in the fullest of time. The act of redemption was accomplished before the world began, and then we experienced personally ourselves in time. Like Paul said, that Bruce read this morning, in the fullness of time, God, he called me by his grace and separated me from my mother's womb. That was a time. That was a time. Now, when I looked up all the cross references that I could find, there's a tool. It's called the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It's just a book of Bible cross references to every verse in the Bible. There's no words. It's just you look up a verse and a phrase, and then it gives you a bunch of cross-references. And then you go to those that it cross-references, and then you go to... I looked up as many as I could look up. As many as I could find in due time. And they all, every one of them, cross-reference specifically to our salvation by divine election and blood redemption. Basically, God showing favor to the unfavorable. I was amazed because I'm like, I know that verse. Go to Deuteronomy, Ruth, Samuel, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Malachi, Romans, every cross reference to this in due time spoke about God's time. God's, in his sovereign electing grace, sent his Son to call and quicken a people by his purpose of grace and purpose of redemption, purpose of sanctification, all God's time. It's God's time. God's time. So what about us here this morning? Turn in closing to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 2. Now this may be a little scary, but let me just read it. Verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, this is found in the Old Testament, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is a day, there is a time of salvation. If you're his, if you're ever to be his, there is a day, a time of salvation. When I read that, I implore the Lord of glory, while on others you are calling, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. He's going to call his elect sheep. He may use this slow, stammering, backward under shepherd. But I have confidence that his word will not return void. While he is calling others, do not pass me by. I pray that would be our desire, to be where the gospel, to partake of his means of grace. And he can save without these means. But he, more often than not, saves you by using these means. Telling somebody, inviting somebody, being under where the gospel is being preached, hearing the gospel. There's a time, in due time, it's God's time. And we're recipients. What a glorious God we serve, sovereign over the most small, most minute thing ever. To God be the glory. Bruce, would you close us?